from valet to $100 million. Sam, did we just meet the guy who's going to do that?
I think we, it's not even a question. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, coming from, you know, regular roots in Columbus, Ohio, to not making it in the NBA, to now working on multifamily, on syndications, on doing private equity, I think Austin Rutherford's a real deal, man.
Yeah, he's got a huge, huge social media. And, you know, it was our first time actually connecting with him. And, like, dude was a real genuine, down-to-earth, like we chatted with him after the podcast was over for another half an hour. So I think that, like, we got a lot of value from this podcast. And our listeners, like, you get to hear his story about how he did it literally from nothing, and just hear the authenticity. And so, like, when you see him on social media, you see, like, the Rolls Royces, you see the fancy cars, you see the big mansion, you talk about his dream house. And then you start to just realize that he's just a real human, just a real good intentioned person. So excited to share this podcast with everybody today.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing, right? To see one of the leaders in our industry who a lot of people know, and they know him because guess what? He drives around in a beautiful Rolls Royce. He built a dream home that is absolutely freaking massive. But at the end of the day, his mission right now is not only to achieve more wealth for his family, but to provide not just to his students, but the people around him. He's very aware of the people that he inspires, including me. So it was an absolute honor to be able to sit down with Austin. Guys, I can't wait for you guys to be able to see this interview with him. It's going to be amazing. It was absolutely one of my favorite episodes of the Origin Story ever.
All right, guys. So before you dive in, make sure that whether you're listening to this on the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to this or you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. What is going on, everybody? We are back with another amazing guest on another episode of The Origin Story. And today I'm super excited. Sam, good to see you. It's been a couple of weeks since we've connected here.
In a minute.
But really, we have an amazing guest that I'm super interested to hear more of the story. Someone who's got a great social media presence on Instagram, on YouTube, someone who's putting content out there, someone who's delivering information at value at someone who's actually doing it, right? And so this person is not just also like he's a real estate entrepreneur, he's an investor, he's been in the game since he was 20 years old. I'm sure he'll tell the story about him flipping his first house, making six figures in profit. But the reason why I like bringing on guests like this is that they're actually doing it. They're not there talking about theory. They're not talking about like, oh, I saw this on HGTV. Like, this is somebody who's actually doing the do. And he's also a coach, right? So he's got courses. He's a mentor. And so super excited to introduce you guys to our guest today, Austin Rutherford. So thank you so much for being on here today, Austin.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
It's awesome.
Well, yeah, it is 100% an honor to be here sitting here with you. We're gonna get into this a little bit later, but I do want to highlight this right now. Like, I'm just shy of a year in the real estate entrepreneurial space. Like, I wasn't even in entrepreneurship before this. I was in a totally different industry. And like anyone who is in their 20s and wants to get into a new thing, what do? I just go and find, you know, influencers, people big on social media to look at. And you were one of the very few like people that I really came to early on. And so, it's actually something I will highlight later on is one of the first things I saw of you ever. And it'll always stand out in my mind. Maybe a reel or a TikTok or something to that effect, when you were in a circle of other investors and you guys basically had, you were talking about, Austin's like, hey, this is how many doors I got. And then it pans out and it pans out and it pans. And it ends with Tim Broad saying he's got like 75 million doors or something. And that was an amazing moment for me, you know, kind of seeing an introduction to this industry, because I'm like, that stuff's possible. Like, that's real. Yeah. And to be able to, you know, be here almost a year later, to be able to sit down and collaborate with you to any capacity, it's a massive blessing to me. Brother, it's an absolute honor to be here, but we want to talk about what the origin story is. And a lot of people, when they're starting out, right, just like me a year ago, I was inspired by the thousands of doors, right? I couldn't relate to it. Why? Because I was living in an apartment, right? I couldn't relate to the Rolls Royces and the Ferraris and the mansions. Why? Because I was driving the same car that I had since high school. But what I could relate to is the journey that people go on. And I feel like that's what other people relate to, right? It's the struggles, the wins, the losses, how you bounce back from failures. So on the origin story, Logan and I are firm believers that people relate to that, and that type of connection is what moves them to meaningful change in their lives. So we want to highlight, your successes. We want to highlight what you're doing because you're doing amazing freaking things. But we also want to highlight maybe a side that people haven't been able to see yet. So Austin, again, brother, it is an absolute honor to be here with you. But take us in. We'd love to hear your origin story.
No, that was an amazing intro. I appreciate it, man. But yeah, I mean, you know, like any young person, many young people, they want to have success, right? Success for people mean different things. But for me, I wanted to be rich. I wanted the cars and the houses and the vacations and the watches and all that stuff, right? You know, I got a buddy that always says it doesn't matter where your motivation comes from as long as you're motivated. You know, it can be motivation to, prove everybody wrong, or it can be motivation to get out of, you know, wherever you're at in your personal circumstances. Mine was to get money, right? So originally I thought that plan was going to be by going to the NBA. That was original. Didn't really work out. But I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, moved to Arizona to play a year of basketball out there at a prep school to pursue that NBA dream. Got to a point where I hated The Rock. I hated basketball. Never wanted to touch it again. So I kind of went back to, like, you know, I guess what I knew. You know, ever since I was younger, I was always hustling, making money, flipping candy in school, making Buckeye necklaces and selling them at Ohio State football games, nice. Cutting grass, shoveling driveways with snow in Ohio. We got snow. So just making money. So when I kind of like started hating basketball in Phoenix, I picked up a valet job, just a way to make money. And at that point, I ended up reading a book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Nice. Kind of opened up my mind to the possibilities of being successful outside of being an athlete or a rapper. And I was sitting on my rooftop journaling, and it was like a 9-unit apartment building. Knew nothing about real estate. But I was sitting there, I was like, if 9 people are paying one person rent, that one person got to be doing all right. That's kind of like the light bulb moment. And ever since then, you know, I started buying like as many like books and like little courses and stuff I could learn to get into real estate, learn the game, moved back to Ohio, ended up buying my first rental property when I was 20 years old. It was a duplex on Ohio State University's campus. Ended up buying my second house at 21, flipped that 6 months later, made $107,000 net profit 4 days after my 22nd birthday. Reinvested literally every single penny into the business. And, you know, I've done, you know, 300 plus deals ever since then. So it all started with the NBA dream, though.
That's awesome. So the first question is, so you said that you've always wanted to be rich, right? Yep. Since you were a kid, like, was that something that you saw from your family? Like, where did that, was it somebody, was it circumstance? Was it just something that you felt that was inside you?
Yeah. So, you know, we were never wealthy and we were never poor. You know, we all always had enough, always had what I wanted, loved my parents to death, always provided for me. But like, you know, we never had the massive houses, the Ferraris, the Lambos, anything like that. So I think at the end of the day, like, I love competition and I love to win. And, you know, I'm looking at people, I'm like, yo, like, there's people live like that, right? Like, it's actually possible. And I say, there's a saying, it's borrowing belief from somebody else. So when you're in a position of being broke, or, you know, living where you don't want to live, or driving a car you don't want to drive, it's sometimes hard to get motivated yourself. So I look at somebody else, I'm like, man, like, if they can do it, why can't I? You know, I'm going to borrow their belief. Like, if you look at me now, I believe this shit. So, like, yeah. I need somebody to look at me and borrow my belief to be in the same position I am in a few years. And, you know, it's a never ending journey to keep growing. But I think I just saw people winning and I wanted to be a part of it.
That's awesome. And then you said you picked up Think and Grow Rich. Was that like, was it literally an accident? Was it a recommendation? Like, that's not just a random book that you're going to find on lots of bookstores that are out and about, right?
Yeah. So you're like the third person that asked me, and it was in Phoenix, Arizona while I was playing basketball. I don't remember who gave it to me. I wish I did, because I would thank them. I think it was like one of like the other players' dads, I think is who ended up giving it to me. And it changed my life 100%.
Yeah. So I love that book.
Logan, is that a book that you have behind you? Logan has every big entrepreneurial book out there. Do you have that behind you?
I don't have it behind me, but I've read it multiple times. I actually did a podcast series with so I used to own a gym, and with my trainers, like, we literally but every single week we would pick a chapter, I'd have them read it, and we would do like our own little round table, and we turned into a podcast on that book. I mean, it's a great book. It's Sam, it's another must read.
Yeah, I'm not a big reader. It's just, you know, I've got a grad degree. I read enough in school, spent enough of my time like reading, you know, and now I'm just like, I'm allergic to books. I love knowledge and I love wisdom, but to me, right, this is how I consume my wisdom. Surrounding myself with people like Logan, like Austin, you know, like the other amazing people that we have on here. And I let them read the books. And then I just come in and just soak up the wisdom. But, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask is, this is really kind of interesting. You know, you've basically been someone who's kind of been entrepreneurial your entire life, it sounds like, right? You were basically flipping candy, which is always, I think, you know, you're not the first person to come here and say that. And I'm like, God dang, why was I not flipping candy when I was like in third grade? Like I would have been a billionaire by now. Does that come from, I mean, was there someone early on in your life who kind of had that hustler kind of entrepreneurial spirit that they kind of gave to you?
Yeah, you know, I honestly think no, the answer, but I think the way my parents raised me, like I pray to God when I have kids, I can raise my kids the same way. Like there's always one story that sticks out to me. It was the NBA dreams, right? You know, I would literally work out like all day, every day, like three times a day. Like that was my life, was making it to the league. And they were like, Austin, you're going to blow your knees out. I was like, I don't need knees if I don't make it to the league. There was one morning I was in middle school, and I would ride my bike to the YMCA at 5 a.m. when they open. I'd get a, you know, 2-hour workout in the morning. I'd ride my bike, I'd shower, I'd ride my bike to school, I'd go to school, I'd go to practice. After practice, I'd ride my bike back to the gym, get another workout in, and then ride home and do it every single day. And one morning I would call my dad. My dad, again, always supported me. Like, anything you need, let us know. And I was like, yo, Pops, like, you trying to come rebound for me at 5 a.m. in the morning? And like right after he said, whatever you need, I got you. I asked him and he was like, nah. And it hurt, right? I was like, you just said that. Wait a minute. And he woke me up the next morning and he was like, let's go. And I don't know why, but like that's always stuck to me, is like, you know,
awesome.
you can do anything you want to. You just got to go out there and do it. And, you know, it wasn't like entrepreneurial necessary, but it ties back to like hard work and going after what you want. And, you know, money solves problems. Money provides a lot of things that a lot of things in this world can't. You know, I go to argue almost anything, any problem can be solved with money. So if you have money, like, you don't have problems anymore.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, what I've seen a lot, and especially with even just with us through here, but a lot of the other high-level entrepreneurs that we've had on the show, is a lot of them do have an athletic background of some sort. And like, they're all different. Like, we've had professional football players on here. We've had really good basketball players on here. Sam was a collegiate tennis player. And so ultimately, like, I think there's something to be said about that competitiveness that, like, I was never an entrepreneur growing up, but I was competitive. Like, I wanted to win. I, you know, and I think there's a lot of the same values that you need to, or skills that you need to learn as an athlete that transfer over to values as an entrepreneur. And so I think, like, we love to hear like the entrepreneurs who were like flipping candy, but like, I'm sure the goal wasn't to flip candy. It was just like, oh, like, I want to make some money because it's fun, or like there's some sort of competition, or maybe you wanted to buy something with it. Maybe you want to take a girl out. Who knows, right?
Well, I mean, I would love to hear your take on this, Austin. It's something that I've kind of spoken about before. And it's, especially with people with athletics backgrounds, right? Yep. I think that athletes do one thing a lot is, one, athletes train like hell, period. Yep. They train like hell. But during their training, it's this. I've always noticed this. This was always the case with me and pretty much every other athlete I've met. I'm curious to hear your take on this. But when you're training, you're not thinking about training. You're thinking about game day. Yeah. You're thinking about having 1,000 people in the stand cheering your name. You're thinking about winning, right? So yeah. I think the one thing about athletes that kind of sets them apart from a lot of, you know, other people is that they're extremely high level visualizers. Visualization is so critical, but then coupled with they put the process first.
Yeah.
If you don't show up at the YMCA at 5 a.m. to get your 2 hours in, like, forget game day, it ain't gonna happen. So sure. I think it's the, for me, at least, I would think that the thing that sets athletes apart, hyper visualizers, and they are process oriented first and foremost.
No, 100% agreed. I mean, man, people laugh at, like, you know, when people say manifestation and stuff, that is a very, very real thing. Like, I custom built a house at 24 years old, And it was everything I dreamed about at the time. You know, I had the weight room in the basement, had the 3-car garage out back, had the basketball hoop out back, the hot tub, the huge master walk-in shower. You know, it was everything I wanted at the time. And it's like, man, like, you know, I built it, you know what I mean? And I didn't even plan it. I bought the land a year and a half prior to actually building it. I woke up one day, I was like, man, like, it'd be dope to build a house. I was like, I got a piece of land, let's do it. And then, you know, year and a half, 2 years after that, I had the Rolls Royce in the car next to the Range Rover, which is what I always visualized. And like, it's crazy, like how that stuff actually works. And I just bought this house 2 months ago, always dreamed about having this big house with a roundabout driveway in it. And it's just, it's crazy how that stuff actually comes to fruition. I couldn't agree with you more. People laugh at it. I think it's one of the most powerful things out there.
I think people's biggest struggle is not knowing what they want. So that's why they don't get anything. And like, if you spend a lot of time visualizing or getting clear on what you want, all of a sudden, when you have a goalpost, you know exactly how many yards away you are from it. And then all of a sudden it just becomes a math equation, right? And it's elementary math.
For sure. I think something even more powerful, when I first heard this, it really put things into picture. Knowing what you want, there's so many things that you want, right? You know, most people don't have a clear picture because they want everything, right? So I reverse engineer it, and it's write down what you don't want. What do you not want your life to look like? I don't want to have to go to an office every day. I don't want to manage 100 people on my team. I don't want to have to be away from my fiance and my family. Like, I don't want to have to miss the holidays. I don't want to have to miss my kids' football games. So what do you not want? That gets very clear on what you actually want in life. So get very clear on that and then figure out how to build a life around that. Too many people build their life around their business. They build a business and they fit in their life where they want. You need to know what life you want and then build a business around that lifestyle. People have it backwards.
100% agree. I did that, and you might have experience with that as well. I think almost every entrepreneur probably starts that way. They think that they have to do the status quo. They have to serve the client. They have to serve their staff. And eventually you start to hate your business. You start to hate your customers. And you're like, this isn't working for me.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting. We're talking about this, you know, Logan taught me that in life, and this was really important for me to hear at the time, taught me that people go through seasons. Right. Yep. And it's very critical to understand what season you're in, because it'll help you get a lot of clarity on, you know, what you're going through, how to deal with it the right way, how to process, and to understand what's ahead of you. Right. Yep. So I've just kind of, and I'm young in this industry, I'm doing well, but you know, we were just kind of in that grind phase. And honestly, it's this is why I love this podcast so much, is we've had other amazing people come on, and they've actually like basically preached into me or through me to the audience about how when you're in that grind season in the beginning, it's great. It's amazing. It's almost like the toll at the booth that you have to pay to get through the door.
For sure.
But the sooner that you can get away from it and then start basically architecting your lifestyle, right? Architecting your lifestyle, not around the money, not around the income, not around the business, but around your why, yep. The people that you love, the people that you want to take care of. And it's like the business at the end of the day, it's like, I'm really honestly realizing this stuff, guys. Like this year, this business is a blueprint. It is just like, it's like a formula. It's an algebra formula. Once you have all the variables, like you're good to go. And then it's just putting the variables in place. So architecting a lifestyle, an intentional lifestyle by design, you know, when you on social media started posting about the new home, right? The new mansion with that roundabout driveway, I'm like, that's like the stuff you see on TV. And and it was really cool to see, because one, you're an amazingly genuine human being, and you've always come across that way. For and sure. I can attest now after meeting you that you absolutely are. But it just goes to show, right, from regular normal kind of roots in Columbus, Ohio, to having the Rolls Royce, right, having an amazing fiance that you're going to be married to soon, having kids on the way, and then having fame and the fortune and all of it together. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's an absolute beautiful thing. And to anyone who's newer listening on this, you guys have big aspirations and big dreams. I went through this. I felt like, man, if I want to become a billionaire one day, I'm basically gonna have to sell my soul to do it, and I won't have a life. Yep. I see people like you, and I'm starting to realize that it's not the case at all. You make your life what you make it. So dude, hats off to you, man. It's inspiring to see.
I appreciate that, brother. And it goes back to like, what do you want, right? You know, you can get caught up in chasing something that you don't want. I've been there. you know, looking on social media, that's like the king and queen of, like, you know, looking in a certain persona and thinking that you want to chase that. So, you know, do you want to be a billionaire? Do you want to be a millionaire? Do you want to work a 9-to-5? Do you want to be an entrepreneur? You know, it's getting very crystal clear on, like, what you want and being okay with it. And I still get caught up in that today. You know, you make X amount of dollars and it can do everything you want it to do. But then you see somebody else post, like, yeah, I just made $1 million this month. It's like, oh man, like, all right, how do I do that? Right. So you got to be comfortable and at peace, like, with what you want and how you want to live your life at the end of the day.
It's awesome. Wow. Take us back to, so you told us a little bit at the start of your real estate journey about starting as a valet and then getting in and eventually, you know, flipping your second home, making six-figure profit. And you said you invested back into your business. What was your business?
So, right, you make $100,000, 22 years old. And I kid you not, I didn't go on vacation. I didn't go out to dinner. I didn't buy a pair of sneakers. I didn't pop bottles. Like, I did nothing. I went straight back to work. And crazy, at the time, I was still valeting. So I went to work the next day. I was working 50 to 60 hours a week. I was still in college, taking 15 credit hours because I promised my mother I'd get, you know, go to school, graduate, get a good job, et cetera, et cetera. I promised her I'd do that. Made $107,000. It was actually a $184,000 check. It was like, wow. But $107,000 was profit. But it was cool to see that deposit in the account. But went straight back to work. And because I knew, like, $100,000 was great, but, like, that's nothing in the whole scheme of things. Like, that's not going to change your life 30 years from now, right? So went straight back to work. 90 to, like, 120 days later, flipped my second house, made like $40,000 in profit. Made $150,000 in like a 4-month period. And I was like, all right, this is real, right? This is actually a business that I am in. Walked into this valet job. I was like, I quit. Called my mom. I was like, you're never going to see me walk across the stage. I'm done. and went all in on real estate.
That's awesome. And so, wow. Did you go in on, like, wholesaling, on fix and flipping? What was your, or did you do both?
Yeah. So I got caught. I didn't know what wholesaling was. So I got taught the game of flipping houses using other people's money. And that was really it, right? So at the beginning, I just started flipping houses. So I would always source my own deals. So, like, I was wholesaling marketing without, like, knowing that was what I was doing. I was just the buyer. But there, like, the first, like, 3 years of my business, I didn't do a rehab that I didn't do a flip where the rehab was less than $100,000 for the first, like, 3 years of my business. So, you know, learned a lot. My first house was $170,000 construction budget. Put a 600 square foot addition on it, like, very quickly learned the construction side of things. Yeah. And then, you know, I woke up 5 years later and I was doing the same exact thing. And I was like, 5 years in and I'm still chasing deals and chasing this and doing that. And that's kind of when we shifted the model to burring. You know, it was like 20% burr, 80% flip. And then we flipped it. Now it's like 80%, probably 90% burr, and then like 10% flips. But it's, you know, again, what do you want at the end of the day? Yeah. You know, I was caught up chasing a monthly profit number, you know, $100,000 a month, $200,000 a month, $300,000 a month, because I saw it on social media and I thought that was cool. But you got to wake up the next month and do the same thing every single day. So build wealth. So one of my buddies is like, I'm just trying to get effing rich. And I'm like, no, we're trying to get effing wealthy. There's a difference between the two.
So, I love that. I absolutely love that. And here's why. This guy, Logan, is actually, like, I would say lovingly scolded me when I wanted to sell a very kind of critical property in, like, my young career. And I was like, oh, it's going to make $100,000 net minimum to my pocket. And he's like, what? Why the hell would you do that? Yeah. Like, why would you sell it, keep it, rent it? You'll make that same money in 2 to 3 years. You'll get the depreciation, your net worth will increase, all these kind of things. And if he didn't do that at that time, he didn't, you know, speak into me at that moment the way that he did. I look at it now and I'm like, I'm so glad it happened, because now I feel like my mindset has become so much more elevated to not making money, but building wealth. Because guess what? Like, money, to your point, $107,000 on one deal. I mean, that's one, insane. That's actually ridiculous. But two, 1,000%, guys, like, if you're on the newer end, like, that is a ton of money. It absolutely is. But when you're just constantly cycling it back into the business and marketing, that 107 will probably go faster than it came. So now, you know, the mindset is really kind of, you know, legacy wealth, right? You're building legacy wealth that you can give to your children, to their children's children, all these kind of things. So kind of give us a, you know, a synopsis. Where are you at with that right now?
Yeah, I wish I had a Logan talk to me like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I'm spoiled. I mean, honestly, it's a
blessing. That's awesome. But yeah, I mean, you know, basically the business is buying rentals, you know, in Columbus, Ohio. I own a bunch of singles, some doubles, a couple smaller apartment buildings, smaller commercial buildings. So anything in Columbus, Ohio, I'm buying. And I just kind of started putting it out to the universe, you know, anywhere countrywide, we're starting to buy value add multifamily. You know, obviously markets, you know, shifting interest rates, all those arguments out there, but at the end of the day, there's still deals that can be done. You just gotta be, you know, more conservative and underwrite it better. But yeah, I mean, we just picked one up today. So just trying to buy as many rentals as possible.
So I saw that your new house is in Florida.
Yep.
Is that correct? And so you're still buying deals in Columbus. Like after you said you grew up in Columbus, then you went to Arizona. Did you go back to Columbus to start your flipping career?
Yep. So moved back a year in Arizona, moved back to Ohio, and then just moved to Florida about a year and a half ago.
Nice.
I have to ask this real quick. So sorry, Logan. Is Florida the move? Because I live in California and everyone's telling me I need to get the hell out of here.
Yes, absolutely.
any other of the 49 states is a good move, Sam.
Facts. All right, man, everyone keeps telling me, everyone keeps saying it. And I'm like, I know. And I know, you know, to listen to people who are wealthy and, you know, make a lot of money and just don't question it. Just do it. Everyone, all right, Florida it is. All right, cool. I'll see you there soon, bro.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. So I'll give you guys a little bit of perspective on this just from, like, I think you have like the 99%, the people who are like, okay, like California is crazy because the taxes are insane. And so very fortunate that, you know, have some friends who are like, mega loaded, right? Are sitting on like over $100 million in cash, right? Like lots of money. And they're actually moving to California part-time, right? So they're in California, they left because they were at a stage where they're growing their business. And they're like, we want to go back. And like, we're willing to actually pay the tax just because like we have the money. Yeah. And so eventually it's like you move from California, you make literally FU money, and then you move back because it just doesn't matter anymore.
Basically, you got a different type of money.
Yeah. I was sitting down with one of my newer mentors who lives in, you know, near San Diego, this place called La Jolla. Yep. And it's like, that's where we have some, you know, nothing. It's like legit. And every house is like, oh, $100 million net worth. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with this mentor and I'm like, hey, okay, everyone's telling me I need to get the hell out. And he's like, and I asked him, I was like, very, very bluntly, and I probably should have worded it, but I'm like, why are you in California still? Like, you know, because you make so much money. And he looked at me and he was just like, dude, like, you're going to go build. I'm in the season where quality of life is the number one thing right now. So yeah. I'm like, dang. Okay. So, but I want to really get into this because this is to me, it's so interesting with where we're at, right? Especially with how things are going to move for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, probably forever. How has social media, do you feel, has it impacted your growth, your trajectory, your business? Like, I would love to hear your take on that because you have a massive following.
And can I just nuance that and say, because you started like by raising money, like how has raising money specifically helped you in your real estate business on social media?
Yeah, I mean, social media changes everything. You know, I think it's I don't know why people don't do it. I do because it's scary and all that stuff. I was there at one point, but it will 1000% change your life. Whether that's deal flow, whether that's raising money flow, whether that's JV flow, you know, partnership deals, whether that's affiliate opportunities, whether that's lending opportunities. I mean, I've done a lot of different, you know, avenues in real estate, and a lot of those avenues have came from social media. So it gets you into rooms. You know, we're on here because I probably have a social media presence. I've got on stages because I have a social media presence. I've gotten introduced to some of the biggest guys in the business because of the social media presence. So, I mean, we can go on and on about it, but it is massively, massively important for anybody who wants to grow.
Yeah. Tell us about your journey on social media. So we talked about your origin story, getting into business. Talk about us, your journey in social media. So you said that you've been there before, or you didn't want to post. Like, maybe tell us, talk to the person who's a business owner or investor, and they're like, I know I should be doing this. My business is doing good. It's doing okay. But I know I could blow it up if I was actually on social media.
Yeah. So there's kind of like two big aha moments I had on social media. And the first one was starting. So one of my mentors was like, yo, social media, social media, social media, social media. And I just kept blowing it off. And finally, I was in San Diego, California, vacation with one of my homies. And we were just sitting there. He was in like the Airbnb. I was on like the balcony with like the beach behind me. And I was like, I'm going to do my first Facebook Live. Like, I don't post. I post like 3 times a year. Like, I'm going to do a Facebook Live. And this is like, this is going to be great. So I whipped out my journal and I wrote down the whole Facebook Live, right? Every bullet point that I wanted to talk about in case I like lost it, I could reference back and get right back to it, right? So I wrote the whole journal thing down. And then I put my camera, my phone in front of me. I put it like, up against a water bottle, right? Little bit of backtest to this, right? People see me on social media, like, oh, you got a million plus followers, you're crushing it. I was the guy, when a phone came out, I swear to God, I'd be the one that runs to the other side of the room, the opposite side of the room. In high school dances, prom, homecoming, all that stuff, I promise you, I would stand in the corner because I was embarrassed to go out there in the middle of everybody and be looked at. Like, I was the person that hated attention, hated it, right? So just a little bit of perspective to that. I've been where many of you guys are right now. And wrote the whole journal, put my phone up, and you go to the live screen, and then you have to click, like, go live. So I was on the screen. And I promise you, I sat there and stared at it for like 45 minutes at a blank button that said go live. And I'm just sitting there. I was like, what if I screw up? What if nobody shows up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't know what to say? Right. All these negative emotions running through my head. And my homie came out. He was like, you good, bro? You just kind of been sitting there for like 30 minutes. Like, you need anything? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just working through some stuff. And finally, click the live button. And, you know, started saying what I had to say. You know, I was like maybe 30 seconds into it. And on live, you can see how many people are viewing it, right? And the whole 30 seconds, it was zero. And immediately, I was like, I was right. I'm a failure. Nobody's here. Like, all that negativity came right back. Pick up the phone, click cancel, but then you have to click, like, confirm, right? So click cancel, and I looked at it, and I was like, this is the moment. Like, do I quit? And, like, that's that? Or, like, is this just part of the journey? And click cancel. So I did not cancel the live. Like, I canceled the cancel button, finished the live. And it was horrible. It was terrible. I'd screwed up, messed up, you know, didn't know what I was saying, sweating, red. It was bad. But I did it, right? So that was, like, the very initial beginning of my social media journey. And, like, I didn't come on, you know, guns blazing after that. But that was kind of the thing that, like, broke the ice. So for anybody out there who's hesitating, like, believe me, I get it. I've been there before. It's very uncomfortable. Even today sometimes. Like, when I go on stage, I get butterflies. When I haven't, you know, missed a couple days on making content, I got to pull the camera back out. I'm like, man, what do I say here? How do I say it? So it's something you're always going to battle, right? You just got to kind of have the bigger picture in mind. And then the second one, it was when TikTok first came out. And my boy, he was like, yo, you got to get a TikTok. Made a TikTok, did like a video. And I was like, nah, TikTok ain't it. And like 3 months later, my guy came back. Same guy, all these stories, he's actually downstairs. We're about to go get dinner after this. But my homie, right? My brother. And he's like, bro, you got to get on TikTok. I was like, man. He's like, bro, like, my business has blown up. Like, I've 4X'd my business from TikTok. I was like, all right, I'm going to get on TikTok. So did a video, and it was like a little point and thing, right? And it was like how I became a millionaire. And it was like, you know, bought a house at 20, you know, flipped the house, made 100 grand, reinvested it, bought 3 rentals, and now I'm a millionaire, right? That was the thing. And it started going viral. Had like 50,000 views, 100,000, 200, 300. And I was living with him at the time. I was like, bro, it's like, we winning, like, we out here. And I go to the comment section, and the first comment, and remember, the video is on how I became a millionaire, right? First comment, you sold your hair. Bro, it hurt at the time. It hurt.
Damn.
Second comment. Damn. Second comment, but you can't buy hair. Third comment, yeah, but you're still bald. I was like,
oh my.
Oh, this is crazy. And it hurt, right, at the time. And I sat there and I was like, yeah, I'm done with social media. Like, I quit. And then again, it hit me. I was like, man, fuck these motherfuckers. They're not doing nothing for me anyways, right? There's the same. If you ain't got haters, you ain't popping. And yeah, just, you know, kind of took it in stride. Now I don't read comments because I get high emotions and low emotions, so I try to stay away from it. But like those are people's two biggest fears, like scared of doing it for messing up and scared of like backlash and hate and negativity. And we get it. Anybody who's on social media gets it. It's just part of the process. It's significantly more rewarding than it is painful.
Can I, like, I want to highlight this, right? Because Logan and I, in the seasons that we're at, you know, we're brand building, right? People are getting to finally know us and we're finally getting out there. And it's one of those things where I want to highlight this. This is so critical for anyone who's wondering about, like, you know, the, not only, yes, is it important for your business? You're going to get private money. You're going to get deals. Yes, all this stuff is true. You may mess around one day and decide with one of your best friends to make a podcast and hang out with cool people. That's pretty cool too. But the reality is this, is that if you view social media and building a massive following, except one critical factor. When we start, it's all us. It's all like we're worried about how we're going to be perceived. We're worried about how we're going to speak, how we're going to look, all these kind of things. Once you realize that, once you're in a position where you have 300,000 plus followers, right, it ends up not actually being about you. What it ends up being about is your ability to reach more people and actually serve more people. And here's the thing. So like when I decided to leave my previous industry behind, get into this space to really get financial freedom, I went to social media and I started looking for people who like could show me the way and show me that it was real. And if you didn't do what you did, you didn't take those uncomfortable steps, if you didn't have people make, you know, try to like rag on you because you were bald, if you didn't go through that and stick with it, it's there, guys. It's there. So stop messing with a man like that. But if you didn't stick with it the way that you did, right? Like I never would have, I may not be where I'm at right now. These trickle effects are real. They truly are, right? If you didn't do what you did, if Pace Morby didn't do what he did, I wouldn't have gotten into his circle and had my life change. So guys, anyone who's thinking about it, just know this. In the beginning, you think it's about you. Trust me, when you scale up, it's your ability to serve hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And once you view it that way, it's not like, oh yeah, it'll benefit me. You have a responsibility to do it. So dude, I mean, that's amazing. That's absolutely phenomenal.
100%. And you mentioned that video earlier, and just kind of put in perspective, right? Some people may be posting for like, first of all, it took me 16 months to do my first real estate deal. So just for anybody out there who's like, hey, I've been doing this for 4 months and it doesn't work. Okay, do it for 16 and then holler at me. Like it works, right? Same thing with social media. You can post 100 times and like not have a video that pops, right? You know, I was kind of known, you know, may have had, you know, 50, 100,000 followers on, you know, Instagram, really wasn't doing anything on TikTok, maybe 50 or 100K. And, you know, made that video. I was at a mastermind with a bunch of guys. We're just sitting there talking, drinking. And I was like, yo, I got it. I was like, here's what we're going to do. Unit count, value. And I started bang, 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 ended with Tim, edited it, put it out like 2 minutes, maybe to do the whole, maybe five to do the whole thing. And that video is literally the video that put me on the map. One video put me on the map. I got 250,000 followers on TikTok in 48 hours. 48 hours and 250,000 followers. Not only on TikTok, I think I got like 8-9 million views. It got shared tens of thousands of times. On Instagram, got millions of views, got posted on Big Ballers, got posted on Millionaire Mentor, got posted on all these like, you know, big things, had newspaper articles reach out to me about it. Like, I don't know how many tens and tens and tens of millions of eyeballs on one piece of content that took me 5 minutes. That piece put me on the map. It's made me millions and millions and millions of dollars from that through what's happened since then off of a 5 minute piece of content. It only takes one and it's game over.
Dude, that's insane. I didn't know that story. And it goes like Russell Brunson, who is somebody who I really respect a lot. He has this slogan, is like, you're one funnel away, right? And if I were to like take that, it's like, you're just one piece of content away. You're just one TikTok away. You're just one reel away. You're just one connection away. But like specifically in social media, like you're just one TikTok. You're just one reel away from having everything change. I think that's amazing for the story, dude.
I would refresh and be like 1,000 followers, refresh 1,000 followers, refresh 1,000 followers. I was like, what is going on right now? It was crazy.
I'm really curious, right? Because getting to know you, it is very clear to me that you are someone who definitely is humble and down to earth and genuine, right? How have you, maybe I should say, balanced the idea of like, you know, you're doing well in your business, you've got a fiance, and I can tell that you've got like family values. I can just intrinsically tell that. Mm-hmm. How do you couple that with the fact that millions of people know who you are and like consider you a big deal? Is it like hard to balance those two things?
No, I feel like I'm broke every day. Like that's, people say that, like we're all genuine, like for real, I feel like I'm broke every day. Like if like, I don't know. I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface. Like the day we moved into this house, literally the day, dream house, right? Like big house, pool, water in the, like the dream house. We walked in, my fiance's like, we made it. I was like, we here, baby. She's like, how long you want to be here for? I said, a year. She said, a year? I was like, yeah. The second we have enough money to get out of here, we out. What do you mean? Like, this ain't the end goal. This is a stepping stone. And it's like, I just feel like I haven't even scratched the surface yet. Right. I don't even know what my net worth is, to keep it honest with you. You know, I know it's millions, but like, I don't know the dollar amount. Cause like, I still have so much to do. So I don't know. I just feel like I'm broke and I feel like I haven't scratched the surface yet. And it's still to this day. I was at lunch today. The guy I was with, we're meeting about social media. Went to the bathroom. My server came up. They're like, hey, can you talk to my friend server? He walked up. He's like, yo, I follow you on social media. This is crazy. And like every single time that happens, one of the most humbling things in the world. It's like, bro, like this is crazy. Yeah, like took the time out of their day to like say something to me. It's very humbling. It's very rewarding. It's very impactful to me to be able to like have any sort of impact on anybody. So I don't know. To answer your question, I feel like I'm broke probably.
You know, there's one thing you said right there, and I've seen it in a lot of high-level achievers who not just are successful, but they remain successful, is that they have a goalpost, but as soon as they get to the end zone, then they move the goalpost. Yeah. And it's not as much about continuing to move the goalpost as much as like, so once you understand, it's not about just getting in the end zone, but it's about your journey to the end zone that's actually fulfilling. That's the rewarding thing. That's the stories. That's what we're sharing today, the experiences. Because there is no end zone. Like this isn't a finite game like football. It is very much a, like you can continue to play. It's an infinite game. And when you're able to change that perspective of it being an infinite game rather than a finite game, you can play it for a long period of time and you start to realize that that's where the value comes from, is in how do you continue to play rather than, oh, I made it and you're good. What happens, Austin? I'm sure you've had this happen in a different season in your life. Like what happens when you get complacent?
Yeah. That's real. That's very real.
Like, are you happy when you're complacent? What is that? Are you happy when you're complacent? Are you motivated when you're complacent? Are you out there like chasing your dreams?
Hell no. No. Like people, they're like, I'm coasting. How does something coast? You cannot coast on a flat surface. You will stop. You cannot coast. The only way you coast is downhill. That's it. And I've been there before. I'm like, oh, I'm just chilling, I'm relaxing. Wake up a month, 2 months later, it's like, wow, I just missed out on a year or 2 years of opportunity over a month or two. Yeah. But like, I hate it. My fiance is like, do you ever like turn off? I'm like, no, I don't. Cause like, I'm on go. I don't want to coast. I want to win. But back to your point, right? It is finding a balance. You'll never be balanced, number one. But like, what do you value? You know, I was willing to put in 20-hour days, like clockwork. I'll outwork anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, but it's not what I want nor need to do anymore. Now I value time with my family. Now I value time with my fiance. Now I value time with my friends, right? I purposely, you know, shut my computer versus I'll just stay up all night in the past. I shut it down. I'm like, all right, I got to go spend time with them. So it's finding a balance of like wanting more and pushing to that, but also enjoying the moment, enjoying the process along the way.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because seasons is one thing that I love talking about seasons. I love talking about like where we're on our journey now versus where we were versus where we're going. And so what do you see this season that you're in? Like where, what season do you believe you're in, and what season are you looking forward to?
I feel like I'm in growth for sure.
Growth in your business, growth in your relationship. Like, is it something that you're trying to do? Like, you're trying to just have it all mentality? Like, you want to be, you know, health, relationship, business, or are you focusing on one? What is your mindset behind that?
That's a great question. So I say faith, family, finances, and fitness. No, faith, family. Yeah, faith, family, finances, and fitness. Right. So the brand Elevate that way. Elevate Life. It's like I see people are great having money, or I see people are great as a dad, or I see people are great as a brother, or whatever it is, or are super strong and fit, but they're broke, right? So it's like, how do you elevate everything all at the same time? And again, there's no perfect balance here. But to answer your question, yes, right now is a time of growth. I feel like I'm a little bit chubby. I got to get my six pack back. I'm getting married in 6 months. So I got to go learn how to, I don't dance still to this day, by the way. I said I hired at prom and homecoming, still don't dance. I promised my fiance I learned how to dance for the wedding. So I got to go take dancing lessons. Her and I are reading like his and her, like before, read this book before you get married type of books. So growing in relationship with them. I just had dinner with my pastor yesterday. So trying to grow in my faith with the Lord, and trying to get effing wealthy. So it's growth all the way around. But yeah, definitely growth mode right now. And that's all I see in the future.
That's awesome. For now. I respect that. And that's one of the things that I'm a huge, like that's what I'm focused on too, is like, not just grow my wealth, but the family, fitness, like, you don't know this, but our viewers are like, I was in the fitness industry for 10 years, right? And I've been lifting.
I can see it. No, don't say that. You can all see that.
This is on purpose, right? Like this happened. but it's one thing that I'm a big believer in, is like, because I've actually had seasons where, like, even when my fitness was good, maybe my finances were the other were down, right? When I was first learning to grow my business, and then for a while, I was like, I figured out the business, but it was at a cost of my health. And I was like, oh, this sucks, right? And then of course, in adding family, I have two kids, a wife, and so now it's like, I will not grow one thing at the expense of something else, right? I don't have that mentality. It's like this or this. It's like, how do I do all of it, right? And a lot of that, I believe, is just a belief that you can do it all, that you can have it all. And I think most people think that, if I'm going to be rich, then I can't be healthy, or I can't give time to my family. And I believe that's the biggest cop out ever. Again, I think there's seasons. I'm not saying that for a while that there might not be imbalances, but overall, like I believe that is a cop out to say that if I have this and I can't have this.
And, you know,
I respect that that's the season that you're in, and that's what you're focused on.
It's so true. It's, you know, we're all in different seasons, right? And, like Logan, you've got a family, you've got a wife and two beautiful daughters, and I'm here, and I'm kind of like in the total grind stage where my brand is growing. I'm traveling a ton because I'm getting invited to events. I like have to go and speak and do like all these amazing things. And these are crucial to my business success. One thing that I've really noticed in the last, you know, let's just say about 2 months, I've been all over the country. And when you travel that much, you aren't used to it. It takes a massive toll. It's taken a massive toll on my body and like my health and my immune system. And it's something that I was never like playing, you know, playing tennis in college was a different animal, right? Traveling to 9 different cities in 30 days, you know, on like 9 different flights. And that's a different animal. And what I've quickly realized is all that travel is good for my business. It's good for my brand. It's good for my relationships. But it does come at a cost. And now coming back from it, I was tremendously sick for about like the last month, and bouncing back from it, now I have a renewed focus because I've realized this, to Logan's point, building one thing at the expense of others, it's a detriment to all. So that one growth of business growth, guess what? Like, yes, it was great for me to travel. But to that point, if I'm totaled for a month because I'm sick, then all that growth just goes away. So it's amazing, you know, and I think anyone out there, yeah, there's seasons, you have to grind at certain points, but the reality is the sooner that you can put systems and processes and people in place to start giving time back, not just for your emotional well-being or your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being, whether you're religious or not, whatever you need to function at a high level, as soon as you start checking all the boxes, that's when everything like collectively grows. And it's super cool. It's super cool to like hear you say that, because I'm going through that right now. So that's just dope. That's just super cool. But I mean, I want to know, you know, this is an amazing kind of season. Again, you getting married in April, right? April.
Coming soon.
April. Wow. So I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of rapid change coming your way, probably over the next couple of years, right? I know a lot of that sometimes just feels like weathering the storm, and maybe life feels like it's coming at you a million miles a minute. What do you see, you know, what do you see after that? Like, what does the next 5 years kind of look like for you?
Yeah, so everyone always asks that. I don't have like an end, you know, thing, right? The number's always been 100 million, right? That's like the end goal. You know, how am I going to get there? You can't get there in single family real estate. Multifamily real estate, you can, but it's a lot of syndications, a lot of partners, a lot of management. Do I think that'll be a piece of it? 100%. Where do I think that? I don't know the opportunity, but I know social media will bring me that opportunity. Whether that's partnerships, whether that's deal, like, hey, yo, let's start a hard money company. Yo, let's start this company. Yo, let's sell a freaking prime energy drink, right? Mm-hmm. Like whatever it is, having a massive brand will bring whatever that thing is in the future. So I believe in three things massively in today's world. Real estate, created the most millionaires ever, is going to continue to do that. Do you have to pivot and adjust with the market? Yes. Is there opportunity within every market? 1,000%. I did my first subject to deal 2 weeks ago ever, because that's what happens in the market. You feel me? Yeah. So you got to pivot with it. So real estate, incredible. Eyeballs is currency is what I say. So building a brand, building social media, building a podcast, whatever, podcast studio right here coming soon. So like building a personal brand. And number three, I believe very strongly in cryptocurrency in the future. It's very bad right now, obviously, but I think 5 years, 10 years from now, entirely different conversation. So those are three things that, you know, I'm focusing on for the long run.
Let's talk about that, because we've talked about real estate. We've talked a little bit about social media. I'm curious about crypto. Like full transparency, I have probably less than $2,000 in crypto, not a crypto investor whatsoever. Sam, I'm not even sure. Do you invest in crypto, Sam?
Little bit, but not in any way, shape, or form that is like meaningful. I'm singularly focused right now. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so this is good. So Austin, so sell us on why you believe that crypto is going to be more valuable in the future than it is today.
It's the single largest investment by far I've ever made in my entire life, by far. So, you know, obviously hoping this works out, but why? The use case, right? It always goes down to the use case for me. What I thought cryptocurrency was, is I thought it was, you know, 10,000 different currencies, right? No. It's not what it is. Majority of them are business, not majority, a decent portion of them are people, places, businesses, things trying to solve real world problems, right? So if it has a real use case, then I can see it doing something. If it's a, you know, SHIT coin or whatever, like that's a whole different conversation. But things like real estate, right? Tied to real estate. When you buy a transaction, how do you buy a transaction to make sure that you're the rightful owner of the property? Take it through a title company, right? Do title search, make sure everything's good. The deeds have been signed. You know, somebody's aunt's brother's cousin's sister didn't forget to sign off on dower rights 100 years ago, right? You got to confirm that. If it's all on a blockchain, which is public record that can never be changed, and all deeds go on the blockchain, nobody can lie. Nobody can falsify deeds. Nobody can falsify paperwork. So like that's a real world use case, right? So things that I think will solve problems in the future is the reason why I like cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, smart contracts at the end of the day are... So even though I'm not massively into crypto, like I've been following crypto in a big way. My older brother actually retired on crypto investments, which is actually pretty dope. So I just hear about it all from him. I'm like, dang, when it hits and when smart contracts, like, yeah, it may not be now, but right, like 5-10 years from now, like it's going to basically eliminate so much logistical human error, and not just in any one industry. It's going to be in every freaking industry. So dang.
So I got to know that. As a tactical thing, so everyone knows about Bitcoin, right? So you're investing in Bitcoin. I think Ethereum is probably like the second one that most people know about. Are you investing in those two specific coins, or are you specifically investing in the technology companies who are more, and again, and this is where my ignorance is going to showcase even by the answer, or by this question, excuse me, is like, is there like certain companies that you're actually investing in that are owning the blockchain that are considered crypto?
So I own zero stocks. I own cryptocurrencies, right? So different coins, tokens, whatever you want to call it. And investing in things that I can see having real world utility into the future. So I own Bitcoin, I own Ethereum, I own Cardano, I own like, I don't know, 10 or 12 different ones. And you know, some of them are going to go to zero. Other ones might double. Other ones might 1,000x. I have no idea. But I know you're not going to get any of those without being in the game. And at the end of the day, like I said, it was single-handedly the largest investment I've ever made in my life. Going back through it, like, because I was just dumping money in, right? Making it dump it. I looked back and I was like, that was a lot of money. And but at the end of the day, like, we know how to make money, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, let's say I lose it all. Let's say it all goes to zero. Okay, I tried. Bet I got all these other things going for me, right? So at the end of the day, like, once you understand making money isn't difficult, it's just different for most people. So how do you make more money? It's a very simple task. Like, if you go to the dollar store and buy a 30 pack of water bottles for $7 and go to the street corner and sell them for $1 each, you just 4x your money. Very simple process. People just don't want to put the work in and time and energy and effort to learn those things to be able to make money. So I don't know where I was going with that, but making money is not difficult. It's different.
That's a clip right there, bro. Just that right there, that on its own, like that. There you go. There's your next viral video. And at the end of the day, you're 100% right. It's not even, sometimes I think there isn't really a mystery to money. But sometimes I think people like to believe there is because it's comfortable. It's like, oh, Austin has the secret. It's why he's rich. And it's because he looks a certain way or he came from somewhere. I don't have that because I'm different than him. So I'm just going to sit here and pretend. And that's just it. Right. But to your point, 100%, like, money is just math. And when you start, you know, getting into these other things like crypto, and the good thing is this, the critical thing is this, it's what you said. If it all goes to zero, it's okay. Cause you already know how to make money in every other industry that you're in. And the beautiful thing is that building your brand, guys, goes back to social media. Your brand is going to allow you to get into 25 more things. So, dang, diversification.
And I think it goes back to, like, the one thing Ed Mylett just said, I think like a month or 2 months ago. It's the book, right? I just lost my whole thought process. I forget what I was about to say. So we're good.
More or?
That's when I said the book, that's what distracted me, because it's not the power. So you said, like, you know, somebody sees, like, yeah, Austin can do it because he came from this, did whatever, right? Okay, well, Austin could do it because he has money. Of course he can go make more money. Anybody with money usually started with no money, right? Yeah. It's just because they have money now isn't the reason they can do it. It's a reason they can multiply it because they did it at the beginning, right? So Ed Mylett said, you know, you see a family with money. At one point, the family didn't have money. There was one person at one point in time, that one person changed the entire trajectory of the last name forever. I'm that one person in my family. And we just get started, right? So it takes one person. Somebody in your family has to be the one. Why not you?
Yeah, that's so good.
That's so good.
Dang, we need that little, like, that sound bite, right? Where you click a button and just people start clapping. Like, that's so good. We'll do that in post, guys. We'll do that in post. 100%, right? It is the power of being the one, right? That's what Ed calls it. It's being the one. So, wow. You know, so, what? Go ahead,
Logan. I'm going to interrupt you for a second, Sam. So let's go back here. So you talked about, like, you're obviously in the real estate game. Obviously in the social media game, we talked about crypto and we talked about, like, this $100 million thing, right? And obviously, like real estate's going to be a part of that strategy, and then business, you know, owning some sort of equity in some sort of business is going to be the thing that gets you to the $100 million mark. How many opportunities, like, are you getting people who are pitching opportunities? Like, what are things that you're interested in? Like, are you already in multiple types of businesses outside of real estate now, or are you actually just waiting for the one thing? Are you doing multiple things that maybe, like, you see that have upside? Kind of tell me, like, your strategy as far as, like, picking these businesses now that you're getting people probably coming to you with deals and opportunities outside of real estate.
Great questions. I mean, so real estate, obviously, you know, doing that, but got into private equity. So startups, seed rounds, A rounds, B rounds. Met a buddy down here in Florida. Dad's a multi-billionaire. He gets swings at things like DraftKings, Robinhood, Coinbase, like the big stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Sign me up. So started putting some stuff in there. You know, a lot of different affiliate offers has been a big thing right now. But it's, like you said, ownership is how people create wealth, right? Affiliate stuff is how you make money, but ownership is how wealth is created. So, you know, I don't have any, like, businesses outside of it. You know, personal brand has a lot of things underneath the umbrella. But, you know, I don't have, like, a drop shipping business that sells dog toys or anything like that yet. But those things are coming. You know, people bring opportunities all the time, ask to invest into things, but they want to raise on interest, like private money versus equity. And that I'm not looking for that. So looking for the opportunities, haven't done a ton of them, really just kind of the private equity side of things.
That's awesome. Isn't that funny when like you're the one who's raised money for your whole life and someone wants you to be the private money lender? You're like, bro, like I understand that game. Like I'm not a private money lender. That's not my value.
Yeah. Get out of here with that simple interest only payments. No. We're doing that. Sure. You know, we're talking a lot about books and things that have, you know, Think and Grow Rich, you know, that had a real significant impact on your life, right? It altered the trajectory of your life at the end of the day. Sure. And then there, you know, like The Power of One More, which is right above Logan way over there. I think you are working on a book right now that may have some amazing capacity to help people. So I really want to hear a little bit about it.
For sure. So kind of going back to building personal brand, right? One of my mentors years ago was like, you got to write a book. You got a book in you. I'm not an author. Like, I don't have a book in me. I just kept pressing it, right? So I ended up writing my first book like 3 years ago, maybe. And that book was called From Valet to Millionaire. And the subtitle was The 10 Things They Don't Teach You to Become Rich. So it's like the mindset, surround yourself with the right people, getting rid of the negativity, controlling the controllables, you know, all these things that school and everybody else doesn't talk about that you have to be as a businessman or woman or entrepreneur to actually have some success. So that was kind of like the mindset side of things, which comes first before the money ever comes. And then, you know, just kind of did my thing. Mentor again was like, you got another book in you. I was like, I don't got a book. They're like, yeah, you do. So I ended up writing another book. It's called Get Free Houses. And it's a simple guide to creating life-changing wealth without using your own money, right? So raising other people's money to be able to fund real estate deals. So, you know, that's kind of been like my focus for the last couple of years. And, you know, dropped the book less than a year ago, maybe like 4, 5, 6 months ago. Nice. But, you know, got a ton of positive feedback. I actually did a book tour. I did a 10-city book. No,
nice.
10-city book tour, 10 cities in 13 days, back to back. Travel set up. It was fun. Connected with a few thousand people. But yeah, this is the new book, Get Free Houses, How to Build Generational Wealth Without Using Your Own Money.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely drop the link so anybody can go out there and actually get that. It's at howtogetfreehouses.com. We'll definitely drop the link for that. So a question that I don't think I've asked anybody, but like I think I want to start asking more people because you said it a couple times. You talked about a mentor. So who are the people who mentor you maybe currently, or people who've mentored you in the past that you have a lot of respect for? And again, whether you decide to share their name or not is up to you. But yeah, who are the people who helped you get to this point?
Yeah. So, you know, there's different types of mentors throughout your life, right? Finance, paid, non-paid, spiritual, like a lot of different people that'll, you know, be a mentor to you through your life. So in high school, had a weight room coach that was a mentor. He introduced me to another mentor, which is a businessman. We were lifting in the weight room. My weight room coach was like, there was like 30 of us. They're like, who wants to pass out flyers tonight for $15 an hour? I was 17, 18 years old. I was like, $15 sounds great. I was like, I'm in. And I was the only one to do that. It was Friday night. Everyone's going out to kick it. And I drove to this dude's house. First time meeting him. Massive house. At the time, probably the richest person I knew. And I was like, this is crazy. Passed out flyers, made $15 an hour. Since then, you know, to this day, we talk every week. Very successful businessman. Nice. And then when I got into real estate, it was a company called Fortune Builders, which kind of, you know, put me on to the game 7 years ago-ish. So they help, you know, kind of get started in the real estate business and everything. And then a mentor now that's been, I don't even know, 4 years, 5 years, maybe, his name's Mark Evans, DM. So, you know, all those, you know, been, you know, amazing people in my life, that I wouldn't be where I am today, without them. So mentors is huge, right? There's this negativity, like the aura, like, wow, you have a mentor, you're going to pay for a mentor. This is crazy. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. It's like, why try to recreate the wheel when you can literally copy and paste? Like, it makes zero sense to me. So I'm a huge believer, huge proponent. I send, you know, upwards of $100,000 a year just on masterminds and education and mentorships and coaching. Even now, like, I'm, you know, you've had some success. No, like, there's always things you got to learn no matter what level you're at. So huge proponent in mentorship.
That's awesome. Love that. Yeah. Sam and I are obviously big proponents of mentorship. Like, that's how we met, is in Pace Mentorship. We're also in separate. Like, he's part of Kent's mastermind. I'm part of other masterminds as well. And so it's a big thing that we're a big proponent of. And yeah, I think it's so valuable that you can literally take what someone took them 30 years, 40 years, 50 years in experience. That's just not all, it's not all business, right? Because like, sometimes the experiences that you get from your life translate into your business success.
For sure.
And you're able to like get that information in an instant, right? In a module. And when you have a question, a specific question that's specific to maybe your specific situation or problem or industry, that person has the answer rather than you going and searching for it and spending, best case scenario, a day, probably more likely a week, most likely a month, maybe never finding it.
Thanks. I agree. It's just copy and paste. Why overcomplicate the process?
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of it is, I think people kind of look at, I think they look at mentorship the wrong way. I think that, you know, a lot of it's like, oh, well, why should I pay someone if they actually want to help people and they care? It's like, why should they charge me? Right. And then, or they think that you're paying a fee and it's transactional. And I think that those mindsets, those frameworks. Now, a lot of the times there are, unfortunately, some bad players out there, some bad mentors who shouldn't be in those positions. This is normal.
Sure.
Everyone's mindset really should be, and this is what really kind of gravitated me towards someone like Kent Clothier, is because his view on mentorship isn't about learning a business. It is not about transactional this or that. It is simply about two words, and that is compressing time.
Yep.
And I look at, you know, how far I've come in 11 and a half months. And honestly, if I didn't have my mentors, if I didn't have Pace Morby, if I didn't have Logan, if I didn't have the peers around me, and, you know, a lot of the previous guests that we've had on this podcast have played substantial, you know, parts in my trajectory. If I didn't have these mentors, right, whether I pay for them or not, it probably would have taken me 3, 4, 5 years to accomplish what I have in 11 months.
For sure. And
so 100% to anyone who's listening, like, yeah, YouTube University is great. It freaking is. I was there a year ago where that's all I did. And trust me, the second that I like worked up that scary courage to swipe a card for the first time on a 6-month payment plan on a mentorship, I kick myself for not doing it sooner.
Agreed.
So, you know, as we wrap up, this is something I really kind of want to hear about. I mean, you're doing a bit of coaching too. So, I mean, I'm really curious to see kind of what does that look like?
Yeah, so kind of have two programs called Elevate Coaching, Elevate Family. So the Elevate Coaching is a like specific real estate coaching program. We teach wholesaling, but really all wholesaling is just finding deals. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be a wholesaler for the rest of your life. So how to find deals, how to raise money, how to flip houses, and how to burr those houses and manage rental properties. So kind of like, you know, we call it the four pillars of real estate. So kind of teach those things. We got weekly coaching calls. We have, I don't even know, 100 plus hours of content kind of back in the recording side of things. So that's Elevate Coaching. And then Elevate Family, you know, is a little, you know, more higher level type of coaching. It's more of a mastermind than, you know, a how-to type of thing. So it's guys that are already successful business owners, you know, success in different aspects of business, different aspects of real estate. Talk real estate, talk hiring, talk firing, talk brand building, talk money making opportunities, talk cryptocurrency. So it's the higher level mastermind that's out there as well. So those are kind of the two different programs, Elevate Coaching and then Elevate Family.
That's awesome, dude. And somebody hears this podcast and they're like, man, like I really want to connect with you. Like, what is the best place for them to connect with you at?
Yeah, Instagram is probably my most active, at Austin Rutherford Official. I respond to every single DM, so shoot me a DM. Let's connect. And then on TikTok, Austin Rutherford, and YouTube, Austin Rutherford as well.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, no, super, like, again, super impressed by you. This is the first time that we've actually connected in person. You responded to your DM, so he does respond to his DMs. I can vouch for that. and yeah, it's been a real pleasure to hear your story, and you're very authentic, like very, very down to earth. Super appreciate that. And thank you so much for sharing your story, my friend.
100%. I appreciate the opportunity. This was awesome, guys.
Yeah. Again, I have to say this. I mean, it's a little bit surreal. It's a dope thing. Right. And I'm super glad, right? Because you always come across as a genuine human being in all your content, but to sit with you here and get to spend, you know, over an hour now with you, 100%, man, you're the real deal. I'm super excited for not only all the success that you've had, all the success that's coming your way, not just in your business, but, you know, about to be married. I mean, that's an amazing, beautiful thing. It's an amazing blessing. But the reality is this, you know, sitting here talking to you, kind of resounding, you know, theme I feel is this, like, in my head, I'm like, he hasn't even started yet. So, brother, I can't wait to see what you do next. It's going to be beautiful to watch. And when I leave California and move to Florida, we're going to hang out.
100%. No, it was a pleasure, y'all. I sincerely appreciate the opportunity and looking forward to continue growing, seeing what we can get done together.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you guys for watching another episode of the Origin Story Podcast. My name is Logan Manzanares. Thank you to my co-host, Sam Singh. Without further ado, we're out. Bye, guys.